Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Yud Gimel. We begin four lines from the top with the words Omar Afram Bar Papa. We're learning today Le'ilo Nishmas Eleanor Bergstein, Dina Bas Moshe. All the Shams we learned for should have an Aliyah. So we begin the Gemara, Yud Gimel of Anala, four lines from the top, continuing to discuss some of the halachos of prohibitions on a Tainis. Specifically, we talk about Tainis Tzibur, but we'll talk about other Tainisim as well. Omar Afram Bar Papa, Omar El Chista, Rafram Bar Papa says in El Chista. Kol shehu mishum avel, anything that is because of avelus. In other words, if the tainus is because of avelus, what is an example of that? Could go in Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the classical example of a tainus because of avelus. We're mourning the loss of the destruction of both Bati and Mikdash. So, in that situation where the tainus is because of avelus, like Tisha B'Av, or an avel himself who is also in a situation of terrible mourning, so then these people, the person on a tainus or the ovel in general during the week of the Shiva, usher to do rechitza bein bechamin bein bitzonin. They're not allowed to go and wash their bodies, not with hot water, not even with cold water. So that's the fasting on Tisha B'Av, the people fasting on Tisha B'Av, or an ovel. However, if there's a tainus that is just an isser of tanuk, you're not allowed to get pleasure on it, which was kagon tanis sibur, like their typical tanis sibur that they used to engage in, unfortunately, if there was no rain. So the isser there was a prohibition against having pleasure. So then, bechamin, in hot water, where you get pleasure, it would be osser. However, bitzonein, washing in cold water, which is not so much for pleasure, just to keep yourself somewhat clean, so then that would be permissible. That is the statement that Rafim Bar Papa said over in Rav Chista, and we'll refer to this as Rav Chista's statement. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Ravidi Bar Ravin, Ravidi Bar Ravin said, Afana Nami Tanina, we learned in a Mishnah the following similar idea, our Mishnah, the Noalin Es Hamer Chatzos, that on these Tanis Sibos that the rabbi set up because there was no rain, so they locked the bathhouses on the series of fasts that came after the original fast, so then the rabbi said that we're going to lock the bathhouses as well during the second series of the three fasts that the rabbis were gozer. So this is the statement that Ravidi Bar Ravin says. From our Mishnah, we can see that Rav Chista is correct, that only an isser of tanog, i.e. with hot water, is prohibited on such a fast day, but bitzonin, with cold water, one would be permitted to wash. So how does he learn this? Abai questions this. Amalei Abai. Abai says to Ravidi Bar Ravin, how do you learn that out? From the fact that it says that it locks the bathhouses, that means that the bathhouses are normally used for hot water, Rashi says. So that means hot water is not allowed, but the fact that the rabbis locked the bathhouses, it implies that cold water is allowed. How do you see that? Let's say, in fact, the issue was that you're not even allowed to wash with cold water. The prohibition was you're not allowed even to wash with cold water. So what should the Mishnah have said? So if you're not allowed to wash with cold water, so the rabbis, so to say, in that situation, I have to say that we stop the rivers from flowing, we plug up the rivers so people shouldn't go into the cold rivers and go and bathe in the cold rivers. That's obviously impossible to do. As Tosu says over here, the merchotzos are hot. So that's why the rabbis were able to say, we'll close the bathhouses. But the rabbis, even though you're not allowed to go wash with cold water, can't say that we'll go and close the rivers. Kolomar, as Tosu says, you have an awesome tzonin. If you're telling me that it's forbidden with tzonin, so mi kolomisne, wouldn't be really telling us over here, sochrin naharos, pshita, tulamotzi lemasaka, you can't close the rivers. Kolomar, kamo kain lo tedok, therefore don't make a diuk over here when it says, mihor diktani, v'nol l'nemechatzos. The rabbis closed the hot water bathhouses, but that doesn't imply, Abaye tells Ravidi, that they allowed cold water, because there is no way to close off the cold water options of bathing. So the Gemara says, so what was Ravidi thinking? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shesha, Bereid Ravidi. So Rav Shesha, who is the son of Ravidi, explains his father's rationale. And he says, Abba, my father, Ravidi, Hochi Kashle. This is what forced him to understand the Mishnah exactly the way Rav Chista had said, that on a Tanis Tzibur, which the prohibition is Tanog, to get pleasure, it's only hot water that's also, but you'd be allowed to bathe your body in cold water. And he says, this is why. Michti, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Tonight we learned in that Mishnah, also Berechitza, we said you're not allowed to go and wash on the second series of three fasts that the rabbis instituted. You're not allowed to go and wash. Doesn't say hot water, doesn't say cold water. And then afterwards it says, Noa Linus HaMerchatzos. It says that they closed the bathhouses. Now, why would I have to add that? If it says there's an Issa Rechitza, so that would imply, if you didn't mention anything about the bathhouses, there's both hot water and cold water. From the fact that they bedafka closed the bathhouses, and the Mishnah tells us this, Why did it have to say that? Elo lav shmamina bechamin osur bitzonin matu. That's the chiddush. That's the diuk that my father Ravidi was making. Rav Sheshi Breda Ravidi said that since it specifically then mentioned that they closed the bathhouses, it's only implying that with hot water the tanug is osur on a tanus sibur, a regular tanus sibur, not tishu b'av, but with cold water bitzonin is matu. So this is where Ravidi got the raya to. Rafim by Papa Amr of Chis, the statement that on a Tanis Tzibor, Bechamin Osir, Bitzonin Mutter. Now, Rav Chis had made two statements. The first statement that he made was that on Avelus, such as an Ovel or on Tisha B'Av, then both are actually prohibited. So, Lema Mesayle, let us bring a raya to the first statement of Rav Chis, Rafim by Papa Amr of Chis, from the following. Kol Chayove Tfilos, anybody that's obligated in a Tfilah, in other words, in those days, they wouldn't go to the mikveh just to be mutter to the husbands. They had an obligation to become tar because there was tumah and tara, as opposed to today, when a woman goes to the mikveh, the only reason she goes is to make her mutter to her husband. The other dinim of tumah and tara aren't really nohek today because we don't have a paraduma to be mutar ourselves from tumah smeis, and all the other dinim of tumah and tara are inapplicable today to a large extent. So, bottom line is, we're all tumah, and therefore the dinim of tumah and tara aren't nohek today the way they were during the times of the base of Megiddo. Said during the days of Chizkio, Amelech, the great Chizkio, even a 5, 6, 7-year-old child knew all the dinim of Tumah and Tara because it was so practical, it was so needed, because if a woman was a Tumah Nida, this was a public knowledge. Today it's a very quiet and discreet thing. She goes to the mikvah privately. We don't announce this. In those days, a woman would wear red garments to show and signify that she was a Nida. The chair that she sat upon would be Tumah Smedris. It would be an Ava Tumah, and you couldn't go and sit on that. So there were tremendous public ramifications for these dinim of Tumah and Tara, and therefore it was a different world in the sense that these dinim were very public and very much well aware of for everybody because it impacted everybody else. So in any event, I'm now going to bring a raya to this first statement of Avelus and Tisha B'Av that you weren't allowed to wash, according to Rafim by Papa Amar Chista, even in cold water. So it says, Tovlin Kedarka, when you had these Chayove Tfilos, they were going to be Tovel in the regular way, even if it was on a day like Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. Bein B'Tisha B'Av, Bein B'Yom Kippur. They went to the mikvah on those days because it was important to become tar, and there was, according to many, a chiyuv to go to the mikvah, a mitzvah to go to the mikvah on the day that you were able to go to become tar. Now, how is this a raya to Rav Chisda to say that you're normally not allowed to go and bathe on these days in even cold water? So, ilema b'cham, if this raya is telling us that you're allowed to do a tfilas mikvah in hot water, so then tfila b'cham mi'ika. Is it ever possible to have tefillah in hot water? In those days, they didn't have the heating mechanisms that we do today. So therefore, mikvahs were only hot if you added to them hot water. And she'uvim ninhu, to add hot water from a kettle into the mikvah would be mayim she'uvim. It would be water that would be possible for a mikvah. And therefore, that can't be what we're talking about, that you have a mikvah with hot water. Tosus points out that even if they were to take into a kosher mikvah this hot water in this fashion, so in this fashion of taking the water from the kettle and pouring it into the mikvah, so he says this would not be acceptable. And he points out that if you were to take all hot water through hamshacha, hamshacha is when you have water going from one place to another place via a conduit that wouldn't be called mayim shuvim, he says that would be no good. The only exception would be chamei tferia, which would be good. He says, the kulo shav, if a mikvah was totally from drawn water, I feel why yedei hamshach, even if it was done in a halachically acceptable way, lo mahanya tefila, you can't use such a mikvah for being tovel in it. Aye, we said that hamshacha is acceptable, and if you have a mikvah totally made up of hamshacha, it's good. So what does that mean? It's kulok sheira. So in that situation, rotz lomar le'inyan sheino poselis the mikvah. It doesn't ruin the water that's already in the mikvah. Kishar mayim shuvim, like other mayim shuvim would go and root it. Avo tefila vada eino ole b'hem. But you wouldn't be allowed to use it for tefila. So, bottom line is, the Gemara says, it can't be telling us that you can immerse yourself on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av in hot water, because that would just not be a kosher mikvah. Ella, lav bitzonin, isn't this braisa telling us that it's acceptable to immerse yourself in cold water? Ella, lav bitzonin, and therefore, only the chayove tfilos, only if you have an obligation. That's your night to go to the mikvah. That is the day that your 7 days is up from your tumas meis or whatever other tumah that you have. So if you're mechuyev to go to the mikvah, it's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah, then these people, chayavei tfilos in, they can go in cold water, because obviously we're not talking about hot water. However, in ishachrina, anybody else, lo, is not allowed to go, not only not in hot water, but even in cold water. Ah, Rafim bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda is correct. This brisa is in support of what they said. Where it says lav dafka, Amar Rav Chana bar Kitina, not necessarily so. Lo nitzricha, this brisa is needed for the following. Ella lechame Tveria, to teach us about the hot water springs of Tveria. In that situation, that is a valid mikvah, that is a kosher mikvah, and that is hot. So therefore, you could have thought that it's referring specifically to the hot water springs of Tveria. But it doesn't tell us anything about cold water. And maybe even in cold water, people would be allowed to go. It's only in hot water that you're not allowed to go, and only the Chayavei Tefillah are allowed to go. So you can't bring me a raya. You can't bring raya against Rafim bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda, but you can't bring me a raya to Rafim bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda. Where it says, okay, fine. Ihochi, so let's look, keep on going. Read that brisa further. In the end of that brisa, it says, he's of the opinion as follows. He says, with Nebuch mourning the destruction of both Bati Mikdash and Tisha B'Av, it's kedai, it's worthwhile, it's certainly appropriate that one day of the year, we shouldn't do a tefillah shel mitzvah, even one time in the year, to remind us of the Nebuch, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's kedai that we should not even allow a tefillah shel mitzvah on this day. Now, the Amris Bitzon in Mutter, if you're telling me it's only hot water that's not allowed, but cold water is allowed, so then they should be able to wash in cold water. You wouldn't have to have this din that kedai one day that they should mourn the Beis HaMikdash. There is no problem over here in using cold water. Ah, it must be that only the Chayavei Tefillah are allowed to go, and exactly like Rav Bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda said, that everybody else is not allowed to even go in cold water. Ah, this is a raya to Rav Chisda's statement. Again, Amar Rav Papa, that's not correct. This is talking, this price is talking, there was no cold water, so it just mentioned about hot water. But, in fact, cold water would not be allowed as well. There just wasn't any cold water in this area. There were no pools of water in this area. And therefore, it must be talking about the Chamei Tveria. And that's why it says, V'hainu Dekarmin, Rashi says, Chayavei Tefillos in Kuliyam Lo, Ubetzoni Kuliyam Shari. And therefore, since there is no cold water, he says it's kedai in this situation not to go to the hot springs of Tveria and remember the Beis HaMikdash by not going to the mikvah. So it's, again, no proof to Rafim bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda, but again, not a raya against him necessarily either. Mark continues and says, let's bring a raya against Rav Chisda, the second statement of Rav Chisda that he had made, that on a Tanis Sibur, only Tanog is forbidden, but cold water for non-Tanog purposes, non-pleasure purposes, just for hygiene purposes, would be allowed. I'll show you that that's not true anymore. It says, Toshma, we have the following brisa. It says, Kisha Amru, also be Malacha, when Chazal said that you're not allowed to do Malacha on these Tanis Tzibur, that was the second series of fasts that the rabbis instituted, we said it's Nisr Malacha, you're only prohibited from doing Malacha during the daytime, but the night before, Avolayla, Balayla Mutter, the night before you are allowed to do, even though you're not allowed to eat then, but you are allowed to do Malacha still. Ukisha Amru also benil sasadl, and likewise, when the rabbis prohibited you from wearing leather shoes, Lo Amru Ela Ba'ir, that was only during the city. That was when you're in the city. However, if you're traveling on the roads between cities, Avol B'derech, it would be permissible, mutter, to go wear leather shoes. Now, how could this be done? Ha Ketzad, Yotze L'Derech, Noel, Nichnas L'Ir, Cholitz. How do you not wear leather shoes in the city if you're allowed to wear them on the road? So you take two pairs of shoes with you, or you take them off when you get into the city. So when you're traveling in between New York to Philadelphia, you're walking, so then you're allowed to wear leather shoes. No, as soon as you arrive in Philadelphia, you go and take off your leather shoes. So therefore, that is how this is accomplished. Bottom line is, the Brisa continues and says, Ukisha Amru also Ruchitza, when the rabbi said that you're not allowed to have rechitza, so lo amru ela kol gufo, it says b'feirish, that you're not allowed to do rechitza with your entire body. However, avol ponav yada v'ragla, but to wash your face, your hands, and your feet, they used to wash their feet very commonly, they would walk barefoot, their feet would get very dirty. So when we consider, you know, washing hands and your face, so they would also include the feet. So avol ponav yada v'ragla, it's permissible to go and wash them on a Tanis Sibur. And likewise, if a person is in Nidui, he's in excommunication, so he's like an Ovel, or an Ovel themselves, they're also allowed to wash Panav Yodav Viragla. That's the face value reading of this brisa. Now, Gemara says, what is this talking about? My. This statement, v'chein atamotze b'menuda o ba'avel, is that going on the entire brisa, including the rechitza, or is it only going on the first part of the brisa? So, Gemara says, la avakulu, isn't it going on everything, including the rechitza part? And therefore, it seems to imply that the avel is allowed to go wash pon of yodav v'raglav. That is permissible. Now, uvamayaskiman, ilema b'chamim, if we're talking here about hot water, so then, pon of yodav v'raglav, misharu, are you allowed to wash your face, hands, and legs with hot water on these days, if you're a menuda or an avel? Vavarev she'eshes, avel also, an avel is prohibited, even lehoshit, to place etzbo b'chamim, to put one finger into hot water. So certainly if you can't put your finger in, you can't wash your hands, your feet, and your face in hot water. So obviously this brisa is talking about ela bitzonein. Ela la bitzonein, isn't it talking about cold water? So if you're allowed to wash your hands, your feet, and your face with cold water, that implies that the rest of your body you can't wash even in cold water. And that goes against what Rav Bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda said, that you're allowed to wash your entire body in cold water on a tanis, because it's only tanug that's forbidden, but for hygiene you're allowed. And here you see that that's not true. So Kasha on Rav Chisda, Shmuel says, no, that's not correct. Lo, la'olam b'chamim. In fact, this Bryce is talking about hot water. You pointed out that you're not even allowed to stick your finger in hot water, so how can you wash your hands, your feet, and your face in hot water? Or the kokasha loch, this kasha that we just brought down, it must be talking about cold water, is not true. The chena tamotzi, because we have in that brisa, when it says bimenudo oba ovel, it wasn't talking about the last part, the chen bimenudo oba ovel, about rechitza. It's asharia koi. It was talking about the first part of the brisa, where it was dealing with melacha and ni'ilas sandal. But it wasn't talking about the last part of the brisa, which is referring to rechitza. And therefore, it's not a raya against Rav Chisda. In fact, the brisa could be understood as saying, no, rechitza is perfectly acceptable for a person on a tanis tibur to wash in cold water, because that's not tanug, that's just for hygiene purposes, and therefore it would be permissible, and it's not against what Rav Chisda said. Again, we'll try to prove Rav Chisda wrong. Toshma, we learn the following. The Omar Rabbi Abba HaKohen, Mishum Rav Yossi HaKohen, Rav Abba HaKohen said the name of Rav Yossi HaKohen. There was once a Maisa Shahaya, Maisa Umesu Bonov Shel Rav Yossi Ben Rebbe Chanina, Nebuch. Rav Yossi Rav Chanina lost multiple children. He lost at least two sons, V'rochatz Betzonen Kol Shiva. And nevertheless, even though he was in Avelus, he washed with cold water. Now, clearly, Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, Nebuch, in his difficulties of being an Avelus, nevertheless felt that it was okay to wash in cold water. So this seems to reject what Rav Chisda said. Rav Chisda said that you're not allowed to wash in cold water if you're an Avelus. It's only in a Tanis that you're allowed to go wash in cold water. So therefore, it's a kash on Rav Chisda. Rav says, no, lav dafka. Nebuch, in this case, where Rav Yossi Rav Chanina lost his sons, they weren't lost at the same time. It wasn't a car accident, Rechamon al-Islam. But one child died, and then, before he finished the shiva, the other child died. Nebuch, hosom kishetakfuhu avalov hava. It's Nebuch, he didn't get out of shiva, so to say. He went right from one shiva to another shiva. There was no in-between period of time that he would have been allowed to wash. Nebuch, the shivas were overlapping. The Tanya, and we learn in the Braisa, in this situation, where Rechamon al-Islam lo aleinu, that a person has overlapping shivas, to kafu abalov, zeach, azeh, if a person goes from one period of shiva right into another period of shiva with no hefter period in between, so then, hich bitzaro, if Nebuch, his hair grew so much in this longer period of time, so mekel b'tar, he'd be allowed to go and lighten it. Mekel b'tar is specifically a lashon over here, that he'd be allowed to cut his hair a little bit. Rashi points out, it uses this lashon of mekel b'tar, this is a derech shinui, that you're not doing this in the normal way. And Tosu says, Pirish derech chaticha, you're cutting it in some way, but not in the normal way, which would be called derech giluach, which would be to go and use the terminology giluach rather than to say mekel b'tar. And the kamar mekel below kamar megalech. And that's why it uses this lashon. So you can do it with a shinoi, but we let you do it a little bit. And likewise, umechabes kisuso b'mayim. And this person also would be allowed to launder his clothing and wash his own body. Now, this was a special heter because to kafu aval of zechazet nebuch, he had one avelus after the other. And therefore, you can't bring me any raya from what Nebuch, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina did to be against Rav Chista's position that in cold water you're even not allowed to wash. Under normal circumstances, that's true. It's only in this extraordinary circumstance where you had one Avelis immediately following on the heels of the other Avelis that this was allowed. And furthermore, Amar Rav Chista qualified this and he said, Bitar, you're only allowed to use a tar, which again is this Shinui way. I will open Mitzrayim, but not to cut your hair with the scissors, which would be the normal way. And likewise, you're only allowed to launder your clothing or wash your body. Mechabes kisuso b'mayim, only with water. Below b'neser, below b'chol, and you're not allowed to use it with these various types of cleansing agents. Neser is, Rashi explains, is karkahu. It's like dirt or evan or certain type of a rock that would clean the clothing. And chol is sand. So these are cleansing agents. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't quote the third statement that Rav Chista made over here, v'loba ohel, and not with aloe, a certain other type of cleansing agent, which the Gemara, when it quotes this statement in a few minutes, is going to use it. So Akasha, I don't know why it doesn't say over here, v'loba ohel as well. In any event, this is not Akasha on Rav Chista. Amar Rava, Rava says, I disagree with Rav Chista. I hold Ovel mutar lirchotz betzonein kol shiva. I hold that an Ovel is allowed to wash his body with cold water all 7 days of the Shiva. Midei dahavi abisru v'chamer. Just like we don't restrict him from eating, he can have meat or wine, right? Only an onein is not allowed to have meat or wine. But an avelus, a person is allowed to have meat or wine. The reason why an onein can't have it is because meat or wine will potentially distract the person and not have them deal and be osek with the needs of the mace. So while you're in aninus waiting to bury, so then it's actually prohibited. This is halach lemaisa, you can't have meat or wine. But once Nebuch, the person is buried, so then you're allowed to have meat or wine during the Shiva period of time, during the Avelis. So just like Rava says, you're allowed to have Bisra and Chamra, so too, you're allowed to wash with cold water. More questions, this is Mesve, and we turn to you, Gimel Amud Beis. Mora says, Ein HaBogeres, a Bogeres is a girl who is more than 12 and a half years old, and she is certainly in the Parsha, as they say, and she is ready to get married. So therefore, a Bogeres, we don't want her to be misnavel herself. We don't want her to look in a less than beautiful situation, so people will not want to marry her. We want her to look as nice as possible, so a potential chassanim will want to go and marry her. So, ein habogeres rasha. This lashon of rasha is an interesting lashon. Tosa says over here, it doesn't mean that it's actually also, it means that she's not mechuyeves. So, ein habogeres mechuyeves lenavel esasma. She doesn't have to go and be menavel herself. In other words, she would be allowed to wash. But only the bogeres be allowed to wash b'nei evel ovia. There's a couple of ways to understand this. The simplest way to understand this is when she's an avelis. Nebuch, she lost her father. Others suggest, Rashi brings down another pshat, that is when her father's an avelis. In any event, she is not mechuyeves to be menavel herself. In other words, she can wash herself. However, other girls, such as Harnara, a girl that's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, so she's not yet at marriageable stage. They would start getting married normally at 12 and a half. So therefore, this Nara, who doesn't have any reason specifically to go and look pretty so that people will want to marry her because she's too young, and certainly the Mepharshim of Avelis, so then Rasha, they are obligated to go and not wash themselves. So this is Akasha. How? My. What I'm talking about here, and that she's not allowed to go wash herself. La birchit. So aren't we talking about here when it says that she's not obligated to go and be menavel herself? So isn't it talking about washing herself? That's the simple way we understood it. And what are we talking about? With what type of water? Ubimai. Elaim, are you telling me that she's not obligated to be menavel herself, and it means that she's allowed to use even hot water? Elaim, abichamim. So then, ein habogeres rasha. In that situation, the bogeres is even allowed to use hot water. That's not true. On Rav Chista, we just brought this down a minute ago. You can't even put your finger into hot water. So how can you tell me that it's permitting the Bulgarians to wash your entire body with hot water? So obviously it can't be talking about hot water. It's talking about cold water. Now, if it says that she is allowed to wash in cold water, but the Nara and others are not allowed to wash in cold water, so you see that they're not allowed to wash in cold water. That's Akasha and Rav who said that they are allowed to wash in cold water. Where it says no. That's not what the Braisa means. When it said, Eina Bogeres Rashol Novelist, so she's not obligated to go and be menavel herself, it wasn't talking about washing. No, washing is in fact allowed. It's allowed for everybody, and certainly for the Bogeres. Even the Nara could wash in cold water. However, when it says the Bulgaris is not obligated to be menavel itself, it was talking about putting on makeup. Lo, it was talking about akichol upirkus. It's talking about various types of Maybelline and all sorts of products to go and make her eyes and her hair good. Pirkus means to go and braid her hair. Kichol means to go put on various types of rouge and all sorts of eye makeup. So therefore, that is permitted for the Bulgaris and would be awesome for the Nara. However, cold water, like Rava said, everybody is allowed to go and wash with cold water. There is no such prohibition on an oven. And in fact, the Gemara says, Lema Masayle, I'll show you that Rav is right from the following. What is the following? This is what we had previously. Rabbi Abba HaKohen, Mishum Rav Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Abba HaKohen relates what he heard from Rav Yossi HaKohen about Nebuch, the sad situation of Yossi Bar Chanina. It says, Maisa Shoyu, Meisu Bonav Shor Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, V'ruachatz Bitzonen Kol Shiva. He, on the surface, allowed himself to go and wash in cold water, even though he was in Avelus. So therefore, you see that the din is, like Rava said, that you're allowed to wash yourself in cold water, even in Avelus. And Gemara rejects this raya the same way it did a minute ago. Amre, they said that no, Hasam, in this sad case of Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, who was sitting Shiva, it was Nebuch, a situation where he lost a son, and before even the Shiva was up, he lost a second son. Bishitakfu Avalov Zachar Zeh. He Nebuch was sitting Shiva consecutively. And we learned the Tanya, we learned the Brisa, that Tikafu Avalov Zachar Zeh, Hich Bitzaro Meka Betar, Umechabes Kesuso Bimayim. We said in this terrible situation, a tragic situation, we have one Avelis right immediately followed by another Avelis, and no period of time in between, that you could go and take a haircut, or wash your clothing, or wash your body. So then in that special situation, the rabbis were Meko, and they said, again, all these dinim are dinim de Rabbanan. So the rabbi said, in this situation, you'd be allowed to go lighten your hair. In other words, you could cut it with a shinoi, with a tar, and not with scissors, as we brought down before, and we'll bring it down again now. And likewise, you could wash your clothing and your body with cold water, albeit not with any laundering agents. And on that, Rav Chista qualified it. He says, Batar, specifically, you can lighten it with a tar, which is a shinoi way, have a little misrhyme, not in the normal way with scissors. And likewise, when we said you could wash your clothing or wash your body, but it was without detergent, without soap, lo b'neset, lo b'chol, and here he adds the words lo b'ohal, and not with this aloe. So here he is adding on this additional thing that you're not allowed to use as a detergent, but the bottom line is that this was a unique case. Nebuch, this Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, lost consecutive children, and that's why he was allowed to go and take these coolers. But under normal circumstances, you can't say that an ovel is allowed to wash in cold water, and it's not a raya. Again, it's not a proof against, but it's not a raya to Rava's statement. Mark says, this is the first version that we had of Rava, but Ika the Amre, others learned Rava in the following way. The Rava said, Amar Rava, Avil also Bitzonei Kol Shiva. An Avil is not allowed to go wash. Here he's saying the same thing as Rav Chista, that an Avil is not allowed to go wash his entire body, even in cold water, all 7 days of the Avelus. Maishna, mi possibly I am waiting. Before we said that Rava's opinion was that since you're allowed to eat Bisra v'chamra, you can have meat and drink wine, so too you should be allowed to go wash in cold water. So the Gemara says, no, the two aren't connected like we previously thought. According to this version of Rava's statement, you're not allowed to go wash in cold water. The reason why you can't wash in cold water, but you can't have bisra and chamra, because Hossam, the reason why the Braisa permitted you to have meat and wine during the Avelus is lepachuche pachte hudyobit. That's to go and put a person somewhat at comfort. Nebuch, this person is very emotional. He's very fearful. Lepachuche pachte. So to go and minimize, to put him at ease. So therefore, that's why we let him have bisra and chamra. But taking a cold shower, that's not necessary to remove his anxiety. And therefore, the rabbis didn't allow one to take a cold shower all 7 days of the Shiva. Now we'll try to bring a raya to this position of Rava, that Rava, according to this version, says you cannot shower during the 7 days, and we bring the raya, the same raya that we brought before to Rav Chista. It's only a bogeres that is allowed to go and wash in cold water, implication being a nara, and anybody else in the Shiva is not allowed to. She's mechuyaves rasha to be menaval atzmo and not take a shower. So more again, it brings down the same tribe of proof we've tried to bring before, now to bring it to a proof to Rava. B'mai, what are we talking about? That she is Rashoya Lenavel Atzma, only the Bulgaris, but not the Nara. Ilema B'chamim, if you're telling me in hot water, so then Ein HaBulgaris Rashoya, the Bulgaris is not allowed to be Menavel itself, and she's allowed to use hot water, but that can't be. V'amar Rechista, Avel Osolo Shid Etzbo B'chamim. We said there can't be that she could use hot water, because you can't even put your finger in hot water, never mind wash your body. So obviously it's not talking about hot water. it's telling us that the Bulgarius is allowed to wash herself in cold water, meaning that the Nara cannot wash in cold water. So this is a raya to Rabbi who says that a regular mortar, such as the Nara, is not allowed to wash in cold water. And again, the Gemara says that's not true, because that's not what the words Ein Bulgarius Vashol and Nadlas has nothing to do with washing. It has to do, lo, Kichol Upirchus. It's talking about putting on makeup and talking about braiding your hair and making yourself look nice with external factors, but not with washing. So washing is not allowed. That's what Rava says. And why is the Bulgaris not Mukhuyevis to be the novel? That's one. She's allowed to put on makeup. She's allowed to go take care of her hair so she should look presentable so she could get married. But the Nara, who's not in that stage, those dinim are applicable to her, that she has to be Menavel Atzma and not put on Kichol and Pirchus. Amar Ruchisa, Ruchisa says, Zosom Eres, Ovel also betichboses kol shiva, that you can see from here, from this discussion that we just had, that an Ovel is in fact prohibited from doing the laundry all 7 days. As we just said, you're not allowed to go and wash yourself, so that meant you're not allowed to wash your clothing, and you're not allowed to wash yourself. So this is halacha lemaisa, that Ovel doesn't do the laundry, doesn't wear freshly laundered clothing during the shiva period of time. The Ruchisa, how do we pasken the Gemara says? Ovel also lirchotz kol gufo be'mechan be'mitzoni. The halacha is, the Gemara says, that an ovel is not allowed to go wash their body, not with cold water, and certainly not with hot water. And this is true kol shiva. Of course, we say mixes ayom kekulo on the last day, once you sit part of the morning, so then that's considered already that the day is over. And while technically in the shloshim, this is a rechitz applied as well, but nowadays, because of the hygiene that we have, which is different than the times of Gemara, we do allow people to bathe after the shiva is over, even during the shloshim. Now, during the shiva, you can't wash your entire body, lirchos kol gufo, or kol shiva. However, al pon of yod v'raglav, only in hot water, b'chamin, as also the Gemara says, however, it's only this mutter, you could wash your face, your hands, and your feet with cold water. However, still, al losuch, to go and anoint yourself, that's already more of a unnecessary thing to do during the shiva. It's not essential. So then, afilu kolshu, also you're not allowed to do any anointing at all. However, the anointing, if it's done for pleasure, is prohibited. But in ma'abed is a zuma. For example, you have to wash your hands; they're filthy, and you wash them with soap, which would be the equivalent of, let's say, like losuch. So then, mutter, that would be in fact allowable. Now the Gemara switches away from this discussion and begins to talk about the davening of the Shmoneh Esrei on the series of fasts that the rabbi set up. So the Gemara says, Tzulusa. Tzulusa always means the davening, which usually means Shmoneh Esrei. So the Shmoneh Esrei, the Tanisa, Tzulusa, the Tanisa, the Shmoneh Esrei, the Seyanatainis, Hechi Mad Kirinan. When do we add Anenu? When do we remind ourselves? When do we insert the Tefillah of Anenu? So, Adbere Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak Bere. Rav Yehuda was walking with his son, Rav Yitzchak. That's the normal translation of Adbere. They were either walking with him, each other, he was carrying him, supporting him. The Ivitz has a different understanding. The Ivitz brings down that Adbere means he appointed him, Minehu Rosh HaYeshiva. And he says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin uses a similar Lashon and says that he made him into the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Chidah in the Pesach Enayim says that Son Bepiv, he gave him these words to say, Sheyidrosh Kach Bedrosha, that he should publicly say this in a Drosha. So the bottom line is, Rav Yehuda is telling his son Rav Yitzchak the following drasha and go and tell it to everybody. B'darash, and he said, this is the drasha. Yochid Shekiba Lolov Tainis, an individual who's accepting on himself a personal tainis. So then, Mispalo Shol Tainis, he says the words of Anenu in the Shmoneh Esrei, the Hechon Omer, and where does he add Anenu? As a separate bracha. Not what we do. Today, we, of course, as an individual, never say Anenu as a separate bracha. Only the Chazan and the Chazor Shashat says it as a separate bracha. But the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and he told his son Rav Yitzchak to go publicize this, was that you insert Anenu as a separate bracha, the Hechon Omra, Ben Goel Lerfur, between the bracha of Goel Yisrael and Refu'enu, which is, again, where we, as the Chazan, on the Tanis Sibur, insert that extra bracha. But Rav Yehuda's opinion is that even in a private individual, Yochid, that's accepting upon himself a tainus, can say Anenu as a separate bracha between bracha of Gula, Goel Yisrael, and Rifo'enu. Now, his own son questions this. Maskev Rav Yitzchak, his own son, Rav Yitzchak, says to his father, "D'chi yochid koveya bracha li'atzmo? Really? Can this person, in his private Shmoneh Esrei, make a separate bracha? Can he add to the brachos? That's not allowed." Ella, his own son, disagrees with him. Ella, Amar Rav Yitzchak, b'shomea tefillah. when you're saying your private Shemoneh Esrei, you insert it not as a separate bracha, but you insert it in the bracha of Shemoneh Tefillah, which is the general bracha when you have any specific requests. So you're allowed to go and put it into Shemoneh Tefillah. You can put it in, let's say you're asking for a Rifa'enu, so you can put it into Rifa'enu, or you can always insert things in Shemoneh Tefillah. So therefore, he says, mentioning the Haskara, the addition of Anenu is not a separate bracha, but it's inserted into the bracha of Shemoneh Tefillah. And this is not only Rav Yitzchak's opinion, the Chinam or Rav Sheshes, B'Shemoneh Tefillah. Rav Sheshes also holds that you insert it in the private Shemoneh Esrei like we do, not as a separate bracha, but as part of Shemoneh Tefillah. More questions, both Rav Yitzchak and Rav Sheshes. Meisvei, it says, Beferish, in the following brisa, Ein Bein Yochid L'Tzibur, there's no difference between the bracha of Shemoneh Esrei that an individual makes and the Shemoneh Esrei of the Tzibur, the Chazaras HaShatz, Elo Shazeh Mispalo Shemoneh Esrei, the Zeh Mispalo Shasrei. Seems to say Beferish that the private individual has the regular 18 Brach Shemoneh Esrei. Rashi, of course, reminds us, we said this many, many times, that our Shemoneh Esrei has 19 brachos. We end the brach of Lamal Shinim, but still we refer to it as the Shemoneh Esrei, even though it's 19 brachos. So we have the private individual saying only 18 brachos in his Shemoneh Esrei on a Tainis, and in the Chazaras HaShatz, so then that's when we say 19 brachos. So this brisa definitively states not like Rabbi Yitzchak and not like Rav Sheshes. Kasha, this brisa says you only add the additional bracha between Goel and Rofe in the Chazaras HaShatz and not in the private Shemoneh Esrei. Shmuel says, no, you misunderstand what this brisa says. When it says, Ein ben yochid l'tzibur, it says, my yochid, what does this mean over here? Umay tzibur, and what does tzibur mean? So, ilay mo yochid mamish, if you wanted to say that it means what you said, that it's talking about the private individual in Shemoneh Esrei, yochid means yochid mamish, and what does the tzibur mean? The tzibur means the shliach tzibur, it means the chazar seshatz, like you wanted to say. So then, what are you talking about, 18 versus 19? Hani chasrei, 19 brachos in the published Shemoneh Esrei, the chazar seshatz, esim v'abahav, on a tainis, we say 24 brachos. There are an additional 6 brachos that we'll learn about that were added during these days of tainis for the rain to come. So it wouldn't be 18 versus 19, it would have been 18 versus 24. So obviously your understanding of this brisa is incorrect. Ella, what is the brisa really saying? Lav hachi kamar. Isn't this what the brisa is saying? When it says, Ein ben yochid, the kibel alav tainis yochid, li yochid, shekibel alav tainis sibur. The only difference between an individual saying, a private Shemoneh Esrei of a Tanis Yochid versus the individual saying a private Shemoneh Esrei of a Tanis Sibur is this din. Elish is Emispal Shemoneh Esrei, is Emispal Shasrei. In their private Shemoneh Esreis, if the individual only took upon himself a Tanis Yochid, so then he doesn't say Anenu as a separate bracha, he says it in Shemoneh Tefillah. But if he's saying the silent Shemoneh Esrei on a Tanis Sibur, then even the individual says an additional bracha, an extra bracha between Goel Yisrael and Rifu'enu, exactly like Rav Yehuda said, and against what Rav Yitzchak and what Rav Sheshes said, Shema Mina, Yochid Kovei Bracha Liatzmo, and this is a proof to Rav Yehuda, and it's a kasha on Rav Sheshes and Rav Yitzchak. Mor says, no, lo, not necessarily so, because we don't have to read it this way. Lo ma'elach shliach tzibur. No, it is talking here about yochid versus tzibur. It's talking about the chazaras hashatz. It's not talking about a private individual for his private fast and a private individual for the public fast. No, it's talking about, like we said, a yochid versus a shliach tzibur. And that's why the yochid says a private Shemoneh Esrei, he inserts hanenu in the Shemoneh Tefillah, not as a separate bracha, but the shliach tzibur, the chazan, he says it as a separate bracha. And like we originally said, it's a raya to Rav Yitzchak and to Rav Sheshes, liolam ein lechosh liat zibor, ayokasho, the kokashloch, it wouldn't be then 18 versus 19, it should have been 18 versus 24. Shliat zibor esim v'yabu matzle, he dabs a 24 brachish manes, right? Again, really 25, but we call it a 24 brachish manes, right? We don't count lamal shinim, even though, of course, he says it. So that's only begimul tanios rishonos, the leko esim v'yabu. So this brisa is talking about the first three fasts. You don't add the extra 6 brachos, and that's why it's 18 versus 19, because it's talking about the first 3 fasts. More questions. It says, really? You don't say the extra 6 brachos on the first 3 tanesim below? For in the Brisa it said, Ein bein ktani, there is no difference. Ein bein gimel rishonos, le gimel emtsoyos, there's no difference between the first 3 fasts that the rabbi set up, again, after the chidim, we're talking about the first 3 fasts for all the tzibur, and the second 3 fasts for all the tzibur, ein bein, the Brisa said there's no difference between the first 3 fasts and the second 3 fasts, Only difference is Elo Shebeelu. We're talking here on the first refas, it's Mutar Masias Malacha, and Beelu on the second refas, Asur Masias Malacha. That's the only difference between them. And therefore, Ha Lechav Dalit Zeh Vizeh Shavin. Implication being that for the 24 brachos, the extra 6 brachos that you add, you do add them during the first 3, just like you add them during the second 3. So Akasha on this statement. So Gemara says, no, Tana Vishayer. This is a style that he didn't list everything. When he said Ein Bein, he wasn't talking about just this difference of Malacha, but there are other differences as well. Gemara says, really? You're telling me that a shear? My shear. What's left over? There's nothing else left over. The high shear that you're saying that he left over. And furthermore, Vesu, V'ha Ein Bein, Tana. He said there is no other difference. You can't say Tana Vishayer when it specifically says there is no difference other than this. So therefore, the Gemara says, Elo Tano B'Isuri Kamari. How would you answer this up so it's not a kasha anymore? So Elo Tano B'Isuri Kamari. The Tana over here is saying that there is no difference between them except for Isurim. This one is Mutter, the first 3, Mutter Malacha, and these next 3 are also Malacha. However, whether you say a Shonesri of 24 or just Ed Anenu, that he's not talking about. But Tfilos Lo Mairi. And therefore, you don't have any Raya over here in the first 3 series of fasts that you do make a 24 bracha shmona esrei, you don't, and that would be the answer that we could give to not schlug up Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, the Iba Yisemo, alternatively, you can answer as follows. Iba Yisemo, Bem Tziyuisa, Nami Lo Matzich Havdalu. When we said there's no difference between the first three fasts and the second 3 fasts, and therefore we want to bring right that you say 24. No, now we're going to say that just like in the second 3 fasts, you don't say the 24, so too in the first 3 fasts, you don't say the 24, and therefore it's not a raya against Rav Sheshes and Rav Yitzchak. The verse says, no, that's not right either. Below, are you telling me that we don't say the 24 brachos in the second 3 fasts? Well, Tanya, we have another bride that says there's no difference. Ein bein gimul shneios, the Sheva Achronos, the second series of 3 fasts, and then the final series of 7 fasts, there's no difference between them. Ein bein, elo shebe'elu masrin. In the last 7, we are masrin, which means literally they cry out. We'll have in tomorrow's shiur what exactly we're talking about when we say Masriyan. But here there's a difference between the second 3 fasts and the last 7 fasts, in that on the last 7 you're Masriyan, and likewise Vinol and Sachanuyos, and you close up the marketplaces, and on the middle 3 fasts, the second set of 3 fasts, then we do not do this. That's the only difference between them. Implication being, hol hol divrayin, zev zeh shavin. So just like on the last 7 you say the 24 brachos, so therefore on the second set of 3, you also say the 24 brachos, and therefore that slugs up your answer. Shmuel says, you're going to tell me v'chitei mahochanami tana v'shir. This is also a case of tana v'shir, but it can't be because it uses the lashon v'ha ein bein k'tani, because ein bein almost negates the ability to say that there are other things as well. It says there is no difference other than, so that implies that it can't be tana v'shir. Again, the Shmuel says, v'tizvar, do you really think so? Ein bein dafka, when it says ein bein, it means this and nothing else. I'll show you that there are other things, and we turn to your dalet amud aleph. V'hashir teva, there is the idea that on these last 7 fasts, we move the Aron Kodesh out to the public area. We take it out of the shul. It's like we're saying we're going into Golus, and therefore that is only done for the last 7, but we don't do that for the second series of 3 fasts. So here's another difference. So obviously it is ton of a shir. Moore says, no, if that was the only reason, imishum teva, if it was only the teva that you were talking about, that would not be considered a shir. Lav shiruhu. Why? Because mile ditzina ketani. The Bryce says there's no difference between the last 7 and the second set of 3, the middle 3. So that's only talking about mile ditzina, in talking about private things. So mile the fahesia, but something public, like bringing out the teva, lo ketani, it's not disgusting. So therefore, this would not be something that we could say v'hashir teva, because it's not talking at all about teva. Gemara continues and says, Amar Ravashi masnisa nami daika. I could show you a raya that our Mishnah is also saying that in the middle series of Tanesim, the middle 3 fasts, that you also say all 24 brachos that we say on a Tanis Sibur. Masnisa nami daika diktoni, because it says Mo elu yiseros al rishonos. What is the difference between the last 7 fasts and the middle 3 fasts? So Elo Shebe'elu Masrin V'Noel and Sachanuyos. We said that we also do these Masrin, we cry out, and also that we close the markets, we close the stores. Avo behold the rim, implication being in all other halachos, zev ze shavim, they're the same. And like in the last seven, we certainly do the 24 brachos, so too, in the middle three, we also do the 24 brachos. You're going to tell me, v'chitei mahochanam, you're talking about shiur. You're going to tell me here that this is an example of there are additional things that he didn't mention, so lav dafka? No. V'ha ma elu k'toni, it says, these are the difference. Elu, these are the differences, implying ma elu yisera soli shonos, and nothing else. More questions. It says, Tizma, really? You think so? Ma elu dafka? It uses this law shown elu. Ma elu yisera soli shonos, that's it, and nothing else? Is that really dafka? I, v'ho shir, we left out law teva, the din of teva, that we bring the Aron Kodesh out for the last seven, but we don't take the Aron Kodesh out from the shul for the first three. He says, no. Again, same thing that we said before. Imishum teva, if you're telling me it's the one additional thing is the teva, therefore there are other additional things as well. No. Lav shiru, the teva isn't considered something that's left out. Again, because mishum dekoh choshiv law, be'idach pirka, because it's mentioned later on. It's going to be mentioned in the next perek in the Gemara. There it's going to discuss the taking out of the teva. So therefore, that's why it didn't discuss it over here. Things that are going to be discussed elsewhere, it didn't feel necessary to put over here. And that's not a raya that it is the teva is a shiura, because it's discussing it elsewhere. We said, oh, once you give me that argument, hash, the dos is lahachi, if you're telling me that if it's discussed elsewhere, so then it's not considered a shiur. So then we could argue the same way, that you can't tell me that the 24 brachos is not a shiur, because esem yabar nami lav shiuruhu uktoni lo b'idach pirka. We could say that therefore this is also a difference between them. And why is it not mentioned here? Because it's mentioned later on. It's going to be mentioned in the next chapter as well, in the next parak as well. So therefore, we don't have to mention it over here. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, the 24 brachos could be recited only in the last seven series of fasts, but not in the first or second series of fasts, the three fasts. And that would be, therefore, no raya. They're the same. This could be another difference between them. And it's not called a shir because it's going to be mentioned elsewhere. That concludes the sugya and today's shir.